Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. In a too brief life, Lorraine Hansberry opened a new entertainment dimension for people of color, starting with her landmark play, A Raisin in the Sun. American Masters begins its 32nd season tonight on PBS with the first in-depth program on Hansberry. Sighted eyes, feeling heart. Peabody Award-winning producer, writer, director Tracy Heather Strain joins me next. Also ahead, Netflix's unscripted Blitz, Mr. Harvey keeps on talking daytime, our current classic trivia question of the week, and over the next 48 hours, New York viewers have the opportunity to greenlight her. We'll explain. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for the program All About Television. We're normally with you at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, but because we are accommodating a wonderful guest coming your way very shortly, we decided to move our show an hour and a half later. 37 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us. And if you want to get involved in the program, we invite you to. All you have to do is pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. We have our chat room open as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Tracy Heather Strain from American Masters joins me live from Boston after these news notes. In recent weeks, Netflix has instituted a push into unscripted series, such as We Speak Dance, whose creator and performer Vandana Hart was on this program last Friday. Five more such series were pushed into gear earlier today. The top highlight, a weekly topical talk and sketch half hour with Joel McHale, the former Talk Scoop, Community, and The Great Outdoors star. He'll launch his self-named show February 18th, and is a 13-episode commitment from Netflix. The program will take McHale will tape his program Thursday nights in Los Angeles for presentation the following Sunday. The other series include a documentary update on the ongoing Flint, Michigan water crisis and a co-production with Vox Entertainment on global developments. Steve, the daytime hour of Steve Harvey, the talk show rebooted that kicked off last September, has the green light for season two this fall. NBC Universal has cleared the program in 90% of the United States, including all of the Comcast unit's own television stations. Under the reboot, Harvey moved the hour from Chicago to Los Angeles and put more focus on celebrity interviews, humor, and audience participation, games, and stunts. Now a couple of quickies. Starz has filed a complaint with the Federal Communications Commission asking the agency to force Altice USA to put the pay service back on its cable systems in New York City and elsewhere. The Altice blackout is now 4 weeks old. And Disney XD will open the final season of Star Wars Rebels February 19th. Animated episodes will be spaced out over a three-week period, wrapping up with a 90-minute finale on March 5th. After that, no more TV-produced Star Wars adventures until next year, when Disney unveils the first live-action version of this saga, its planned direct-to-home service. And that is news notes for today. When you speak of most awarded television series, you got to put American Masters from PBS right up there in the list. Just listen to this total of awards: 28 Emmys, including 10 for an outstanding nonfiction series alone, 12 Peabody Awards, an Academy Award, 3 Grammy Awards, Producers Guild Awards, and many, many honors. And tonight, the series returns for its 32nd season, documenting one of the brief lives in entertainment, but one that was groundbreaking, the life of Lorraine Hansberry. The episode is subtitled, Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. And joining us live from Boston, in a radio exclusive, the Peabody-winning producer, writer, and director of this installment, Tracy Heather Strain. Tracy, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really delighted.
Both of us got to know Lorraine Hansberry's work at an early age, high school, early in terms of ages, myself with Raisin in the Sun and you with The Young, Gifted, and Black. What inspired you to finally put this program together?
I was inspired in the 80s, after I graduated from college, to focus on a story about African-American experience. And Spike Lee was saying, make black films. And I got the idea that, someone should do a film about Lorraine Hansberry. And so I had this idea. At first, I think I was thinking of a dramatic feature. But then once I got into production, because I wasn't in production when I had this idea, I started working in documentaries first. And then I decided that I wanted to make a documentary about Lorraine Hansberry. And it was her words that drew me to, her words are just so powerful. And I really identified with many of the things that she said and some of the experiences that she had as a child.
What do you think her most important contribution to entertainment was in her two brief lives? She died at the age of 34 from cancer in 1965, really 6 years after she broke the glass ceiling of her own, if you will, on Broadway with Raisin the Sun.
Well, I think the thing is that Raisin was the first drama that white people identified with black protagonists. There was a big question of whether people would come to a drama with African Americans at the center. That was unprecedented. And so what Ruby Dee says, and we have this in the documentary, Lorraine seemed to open up the theater to black people. So you had black audiences seeing themselves on the stage, and then you also saw you had African American theater professionals thinking, well, there can be roles for us, and we can go out and write plays and do the same. So she inspired a whole generation of theater artists and continues to inspire them.
And for those who don't know, the original cast of Raising the Sun, you could not ask for a more perfect cast. Sidney Poitier, Ruby Dee, Louis Gossett Jr., Ivan Dixon, Diana Sands, and Claudia McNeil playing the mother. And it really speaks a lot that when 2 years later it was adapted for film by Columbia Pictures, pretty much all the original cast was invited to recreate their roles in the film.
Yes, it was great. The only person who couldn't recreate his role that was a major player was Glenn Turman. He was too old. He had grown up. And so 2 years later, he couldn't be in A Raisin in the Sun.
Incidentally, I've always felt that one of the biggest faux pas in the history of the Academy Awards was Claudia McNeil not winning a Best Actress nomination for her role as the mother. A lot of people don't know that she did get a Golden Globe nomination for the role. So did Sidney Poitier. And also, Ruby Dee did win a National Board of Review Award for Best Supporting Actress for the film. And the director of the film, Daniel Petrie, won a special award at the Cannes Film Festival where it was shown. How many of the original cast from both the play and the film were you able to get for your documentary?
Let me see. So we have Sidney Poitier, Ruby Dee, Lou Gossett Jr., and Glenn Turman. And Douglas Turner Ward was as a moving man and sometimes an understudy for Sidney. So I guess that's who we have from the original play. I don't think Ward was not a part of the film though.
Mm-hmm. What was the toughest part about putting this together?
Yeah, the toughest part, as it is for most filmmakers, is raising the money. And so that's one of the reasons it took such a long time, about 14 years for us to make. The other challenge was figuring out the story of someone who's so complex and so layered and so much a part of the major movements of her lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a little later on about whether or not she was interested in writing for television. And I think a lot of people might be surprised about a little fact involving the medium, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But was there any specific person that you were hoping would definitely do this documentary that you were like excited about? Yes, we got this person.
When we were really excited when Mr. Poitier finally agreed to be interviewed. And I was in Boston South Station about to take the train somewhere, and I got a call from his assistant, and they said, Mr. Poitier will do an interview, and he'll give you 15 minutes. And I was excited and then a little freaked out because I had more than 15 minutes worth of questions, but I figured it was a test. If he didn't like us, he had license to get rid of us. But we had a wonderful hour with him, and that's all we needed, and it was great. And we're so blessed that he saw the film, and he really likes it.
The film is called Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. It is the 32nd season premiere of the award-winning American Masters. It's on at 9 p.m. East Pacific time on most PBS stations. Remember, you got to check not only where your PBS station is, but also if they're playing at 9 o'clock. So Some stations will play it later in the evening. Some will play it during the weekend. And most PBS stations, by the way, will repeat it within the following week. We've got the producer, writer, director of this episode, Tracy Heather Strange. She's live from Boston this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from the Big Apple. 37 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us. You have a question or a comment for Tracy? Give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Programming note, our next episode Monday will also come a little later than normal, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And we got a good one for you. CBS has a brand new special coming up next Thursday night called MVP, Most Valuable Performer, where top NFL stars do things you never would expect. We've got the executive producer of the program, Robert Horowitz. And then Pop Network has a new series premiering Wednesday nights called Let's Get Physical. It's all about the adventures and misadventures of a group of people who just want to have a good time at the gym. We've got the brother bear who make it happen, Ben and Dan Newark, and they will be with us. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. A lot of people don't know that Lorraine Hansberry did, in fact, write a television play, and it was called The Drinking Board. She was actually invited by NBC to do it. It was about slavery, and when she submitted the script, apparently NBC executives thought it was really great, high, and then they backed off. Does your special deal with that?
No, unfortunately, we don't get into it. Our four-hour rough cut had it in there, but when we had to bring it down to 2 hours, unfortunately, that had to go. But that's one of my favorite stories, and the great thing about it is Lorraine is talking about it in an interview, a radio session with James Baldwin and Langston Hughes. And she said, I was paid handsomely for it, but they put it in a drawer. The thing is that they couldn't find advertisers for it. It was supposed to be a big five-part series on the celebration of the Civil War centennial. And she was first out of the gate. And it would have been Roots before Roots, because it looked at slavery from the side of, you know, the white perspective, the slave master, as well as the slave, you know, the enslaved family. And it was not warm and fuzzy.
Is there any possibility that someone could take it out of mothballs and try in this era of plentiful TV, diverse TV, and smart TV sets and devices to perhaps make a go and produce that?
You know, that's not a question I can answer. That's a better question for the Lorraine Hansberry Literary Trust. I don't know what their contractual relationship was with Dori Sherry and NBC.
One other thing about television. At the time that Hansberry was doing her thing in the 1960s, there were a number of New York-based television dramas that dealt with social issues. The Defenders, East Side, West Side, Slattery's People, The Nurses, Naked City, et cetera, et cetera. Did you ever think about pursuing television, maybe writing episodic TV, given their interest in doing social issues?
I didn't see any evidence of that in her papers. She seemed very interested in writing for the stage. She had started several plays, and that was based on my research, was her main focus.
I'm curious, you know, it would be interesting to see, like, in another life, a parallel world, whether she would write for episodic television, what she could do during that period, given the interest level in producing TV in New York, dealing with issues. And I don't know if you ever saw East Side, West Side. That was the show that Cicely Tyson had a breakthrough role on. Ruby Dee, in fact, was on an episode that dealt with blockbusting, practice at the time, called No Hiding Place, with Earl Hyman, who was, later became the granddad on The Cosby Show, passed away last year. Really good episode.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but in some ways, I think, you know, as a writer, you have more control in the theater, and I think she really was interested in controlling how her words were used. I think her experience potentially on the writing of A Raisin in the Sun, the screenplay, kind of was probably not a pleasant experience, and you know, and then you have the drinking gourd story we just discussed. So it's hard to say, of course, but I think she'd like the control of the theater.
Why wasn't the screenplay of Raisin a pleasant experience for her, or an easy experience to do?
So after the play was well received, Lorraine kept being interviewed, and people kept talking about the fact that this isn't really as they said at the time, a Negro family. This could be any family. It could be an Italian family. And it was very frustrating because, as she said, this is not just any family, Negro family. This is not even any Chicago family. This is specifically a South Side Chicago family. One of the things she thought about was that the movie would be great because it could add context. You know, she could kind of explain the racial dynamics and show more of the living conditions the youngers faced in that cramped kitchenette and even in their daily lives. And the studio kept, you know, pushing those things out. And so she wrote three drafts, and then not only were her things deleted that she wanted to add, but subsequently, the director was encouraged to take more things out in the editing room. So basically what you get with the movie, which is still, you know, a powerful, important movie, is the play on screen. You know, you really, when you think about it, you really don't go out much.
Mm-hmm. So it was basically a one-set film as opposed to trying to broaden it out a bit, see more of the
world. Yeah, right. But the dynamics. And she had wanted, you know, you to see where Lena worked and, you know, her relationship with her employer and see more of Walter Lee's relationship with his employer and the living conditions in particular. You know, those kitchenettes, based on my research, were very cramped. And you know, you had the son sleeping on the couch. And, you know, there were always problems in these units.
Mm-hmm. What was, in your research and preparation to make this, what was the most surprising fact or train of fact about Lorraine Hansberry that you discovered?
It's one of the things that's actually hard to pin down because we've been working on it for so long, but I think we were always struck how connected she was to various people and how, you know, she was just so layered and complex. She was so smart. You know, to read her letter sometimes, we'd have to stop and read another book or, you know, read the cliff notes of another book to just sort of make sure we understood what point she was making. And you know, part of that is that, you know, some of the books that were popular at the time, you know, many of us haven't read. But, it's just that how intelligent and layered she was and connected to various other famous people like Paul, you know, it's not just that it was Paul Robeson and you know, James Baldwin and Nina Simone, but she interacted with a lot of people who are these days no longer household names. And so it was interesting to, we'd run and say, oh, look at this entry, look at this letter, you know, oh my gosh, she knew him too. So that was really exciting for us. Just the discovery.
Rick Webb is in our chat room from Philadelphia. Rick, if you'd like to give us a call, do so, 646-652-2906, or put your thoughts in the room. You mentioned a couple of times the Lorraine Hansberry Trust. What kind of an organization is that, and how helpful were they to you in putting your show together?
The Lorraine Hansberry Literary Trust holds the rights to Lorraine Hansberry's writings and her works. And they have a website, lhlt.org, and you can find out more information about them there. But they provided us access to her diaries and journals and photographs and other materials. Some of those materials are available at the Schomburg, at the New York Public Library branch called the Schomburg. And so that's where we went for some things, but some things were kept by the trust, including the home movies that appear in the documentary.
And I believe you also, in tonight's program, you have her sister, who is still alive. And what did she have to say that surprised you, delighted you, really gave you some pause?
Well, one of our favorite quotes is when she described Lorraine Hansberry as, I called her the little sponge. That was just so wonderful for us to hear because it set up the narrative that we wanted to tell, which was one of an activist artist. And so you could clearly imagine her soaking up the South Side and then you know, later she uses what she soaked up to write A Raisin in the Sun. Another thing that Mamie really impressed upon us was how much their family was involved in civil rights and activism. And that was reinforced by their first cousin, Chanel Perry. They were very involved in social change. And so Lorraine, from a young age, was grounded in this idea that she must do her part to help eradicate discrimination and racism.
Mm-hmm. At the time that Hansberry passed away in 1965, she had a second play on Broadway, The Sign in Sidney Brustein's Window. Unfortunately, it closed after her death. But she had a lot that she was working in her plate. She had this To Be Ungifted in Black. She had how much in terms of original plays and writing did she have going for her at the time that she died?
So first of all, To Be Ungifted in Black wasn't something that she wrote. To Be Ungifted in Black was made after she died. It premiered in January 1969 at the Cherry Lane Theater, and that was adapted by her ex-husband, Robert Nemiroff. But she was working on a number of things. She had a play. She wanted to write a play, Laughing Boy. It was about a Native American young man. She wanted to adapt a Charles Chestnut novel. She had a play that she actually had a sample of on television about Toussaint Louverture, a Haitian leader, and something about Mary Wollstonecraft. So she had really broad interest, and she had an unfinished novel that she had started, and I'm sure she wanted to finish that as well. So she was really embracing anything that interests her. So she wasn't just interested in writing only about the African American experience. She was interested in human beings, and she talked about that in a variety of ways and in a variety of interviews. Mm-hmm. She said one of them with Patricia Marks. She said, "I believe the highest gift of man is art, and I'm audacious enough to believe that I'm an artist." And she goes on to say that she thinks there's beauty and truth and communion, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she basically says what I want to do is to reach out to people and see if we can share things about it, illuminations about each other, and she wanted to reach out into the world. So she was very much about the human condition.
Sighted eyes, feeling heart. It's all about Lorraine Hansberry, someone you definitely should know a lot more about if you don't. And it's the 32nd season premiere of the award-winning American Masters tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on most PBS stations across the country. The Peabody-winning producer, writer, director of this project, Tracy Heather Strain, is with us live from Boston this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio or on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And we have a few more minutes left with Tracy. If you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. After next, we will have our first three-episode week of the year, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at our normal time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And coming up on our first of those three episodes, that's a week from Monday, January 29th, we will have the creator, executive producer, and showrunner of YouTube Red's new series, Step Up High Water, based on the famous film series. Her name is Holly Sorensen. We've had her on before. She was the person behind such freeform shows as Make It or Break It, and more recently, Recovery Road. And on the second half of the hour, we'll have the co-star, creator and executive producer, of a new series on Vimeo called Bartlett. Who's involved? How about Louise Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame? Christy Mezzio will join us. That's all coming up on Monday, January 29th. First of three episodes we're doing that week, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow will be televised. Do you hope that as a result of your special that there's a revived interest in Hansberry's work, so maybe we can see another production of To Be Ungifted in Black, some of the other things she did, maybe have The Sign in Sidney Brustein's Window become a television play, and maybe even get The Drunken Gourd out of mothballs to maybe bring that on to the series, especially given the times we're at now in television.
Yes, I think that, first of all, I am very excited that there's several books in the work about Lorraine Hansberry. There's a major biography on the way in the works by Margaret Wilkerson, who appears in her documentary. Imani Perry, who's in our documentary, is working on a book about Lorraine Hansberry, and so is a scholar named Soyika Colbert. And they all focus on different things. But Margaret's doing a biography, and she was asked by Robert Nemiroff, Lorraine's ex-husband, to work on that. And so I'm really excited about those things. And the Lorraine Hansberry Literary Trust is working on getting some more of her works done. I think there's going to be a production of The Sign in Sidney Brewstein's Window soon. And I know that people are trying to do other of Lorraine's works. London recently had, they did Les Blancs and Raisin in the Sun, as well as, I think they, I'm not sure about The Sign in Sidney Brewstein's Window, but, you know, so her work is not even only performed in the United States. So
and you said it before, but I think you said again, is that she was a playwright for everybody. This was not just somebody who was out to break the barrier, which she did for people of color, but really to showcase the universal human condition. I mean, Raisin in the Sun, as you mentioned, it's about a universal family dealing with a universal problem, whether or not to take the death of a loved one and the money from that and either improve their living conditions or stay where they are. And it's something that even today people face. And the same thing with Sidney Brewstein's Window and the other plays she did, that it was all about the human condition, irregardless of race.
Yes, but she always does say, though, that, you know, for Raisin in the Sun, she's very specific, though, is that, you know, that this play is about an African-American, you know, family. And but she is. She wants to speak to everyone. I mean, she wants people to start seeing, she wanted people, I should say, to start seeing African-Americans or any other group that's seen as, quote-unquote, other, as people, you know, people. But to appreciate the differences that, you know, your racial identity can, you know, provide, you know, in terms of how you live, go through your life.
By the way, what did you think of the remake of Raisin that was done on television with Sean Combs and Felicia Rashad and company about over a decade ago?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to for new audiences to see Lorraine Hansberry's work. I'm a greater fan of the 2014 revival, Broadway revival of A Raisin in the Sun. I must say, having seen a lot of different productions, I think it's after seeing so many really experienced actors working on the play. It was probably less compelling to me to see Mr. Combs, you know, or P. Diddy, I'm not sure what we were supposed to call him right now, in that role. But I was grateful that it was done, because I think it introduced Hansberry's work to a new generation, and that's very important.
Any thoughts about how you think she would feel about where we're at today in theater and in television and in film and the opportunities that people of color have and how they are using those opportunities?
Right. It's very difficult for me to, you know, put myself in Lorraine Hansberry's shoes, but I think that she would be surprised at how little things have changed, even though there's been, you know, a lot of progress. Some of the fundamental issues around representation are still there, and that's frustrating for African Americans and other people of color who don't see themselves enough on television, on the stage, in films. This notion that African Americans, it's easier to greenlight things when African Americans are in what many of us would consider stereotypical roles is still happening, and it's unfortunate. And so, you know, even a documentary like this that presents the middle class experience of an African American wasn't necessarily the easiest thing to, you know, fund initially. So I think we're still struggling. So I think that she would be still working to, you know, get things changed, and so that's what I think about that.
And have you thought about what you're going to be doing next in television or in entertainment? What's up for you?
Well, I'm really excited to still work with the material that we shot for this documentary. We like to think of this as a transmedia project, because if you take all the interviews I did and use a yardstick, I've only used a few 3 inches of the material. There's so many stories that I've captured about not only Lorraine Hansberry and her plays, but the individuals I interviewed told me stories that should be out in the world. And so after I sort of recover from this, and I will have to start raising money again to create these other this other media that I'd like to share with people. Some may be appearing on the website. Other ideas are for traveling exhibits.
The program is Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. It deals with a talent that left us way too soon, but in her 34 years of life gave us an extraordinary contribution to the world of entertainment, especially to the world of theater. If you don't know Lorraine Hansberry, I really suggest you make it your business, frankly, to see this program tonight or whenever your local PBS station catches it. Again, it's the 32nd season premiere of American Masters. Most PBS stations will run it tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Other stations will run it later or during the weekend or replay it during the week. Check your local listings for the PBS station in your area. For more details online, here's two places to go. PBS.org/AmericanMasters. That's PBS.org/AmericanMasters or 13.org, WAT13. In New York is the producing station, American Masters. By the way, I also, before we let Tracy go, want to tell you who funded this particular episode of the program. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting, major support from the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts, the Ford Foundation, Just Films, the LEF Foundation, and the Peter G. Peterson and Joan Ganz Cooney Fund, with major support for the series as a whole provided by AARP. And also, check out PBS.org, Inspiring Women, online, because you can get more details about American Masters and also about Tracy's particular episode. And I hope some of what she does, that extra footage, pops up there. Tracy, Heather Strain, thank you so much for coming on the program. Congratulations on making the season opener for American Masters. Good luck with the special tonight and all your work to come. It's been a real honor to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on your show. Take care.
You too, Tracy. All the greatest. And also, that's Tracy Heather Strain joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts. And by the way, Turner Classic Movies regularly runs the 1961 film of A Raisin in the Sun. If you've never seen it, make it your business to see it, especially for a fantastic performance by not just the entire class, but particularly Claudie McNeil. Her work as the mother is going to burn your heart up. It is really a sensational performance. And again, I really thought she would have gotten an Oscar, for an Oscar nomination at least, for Best Actress. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week. And over this weekend, New York City viewers are going to have an opportunity to make a pilot maker very, very happy. We will explain after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the January Jones Show. Kids and Sports are January's next topic. Catch it tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also coming your way on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Check out our program and recent episodes. Go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're right there. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised. One of those who are just joining us along the line of Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Coming up, our classic trivia question of the week and a little feature about a project happening called, this weekend called Green Light Her. Tell you all about it after we tell you about some fine things going on at Audible.com. If you love Mad Men, particularly the work of Emmy Award winner John Hamm, you'll like the fact he's involved in one of Audible.com's newest projects. And it's not an audiobook. It's a brand new dramatic production called Stinker, Let's Loose. And he's joined by an all-star cast in putting this unique radio production together. And you can check it out for yourself. How? Well, subscribe to Audible.com. Get a free one-month trial and get this or any other title you like absolutely free to check it out. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital and entertainment information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So whatever your taste, whether it is sports, news, politics, whatever, Audible has a book for you to hear. And hear for yourself why Audible is listening is the new reading, and Audible is the place that can transform the way you hear the world. Again, for that free audiobook and one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. So far, no correct answer, so we're going to keep it in play during the week. And we did this last week when we had our friend from We Speak Dance on the program. And guess what? We had our first winner of the year, Anna from Portugal, who is our first ever overseas winner. So let's keep it in play. Here's the question. Name the TV series created by William Shatner. Name the television series created by William Shatner. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win a wonderful book called Make It Reality by executive and executive producer Chris Abrego, with an introduction by none other than Pitbull. And that book can be yours if you have the correct answer. So once again, email that answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you just missed the question a moment ago, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. My handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, if you want to win, be in the game. Do so, and all the very best. Finally, there's a very unique event happening tonight and tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, particularly here in the Big Apple, and that is due to a project that's been underway for over a year by the New York City's Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment. They've been doing quite a bunch of things in order to get the TV industry here in New York more diverse. For example, the Mayor of New York Writers Room, whose first class is continuing unfolding, and I hope they'll have their second class announced very, very soon. The project is called Greenlight Her. Here's how it works. Last year, the mayor's office invited writers from all over New York City to put together half-hour pilots for comedies, dramas, dramedies that would be shot here in New York. And out of 300 entries, two were picked to actually go to filming here in the Big Apple. One is called Maturity by Robin Rose Singer. The other is Half-Life by Patty Carty. Both programs were made as pilots. And tonight, they will be shown back-to-back from 10 to 11 o'clock on NYC Live. That is the city's own cable channel, Channel 25, here in the Big Apple. And it'll be presented also tomorrow night at the same time. If you're in the New York City area, after you see the program, you can vote on which one you hope would become a television series. You have until January 29th to make that choice. And later this year, one of those two will actually be picked to become a four-episode television series that will run on NYC Life and maybe elsewhere. So once again, the project is called Greenlight Her. It's happening tonight and tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, on NYC Life at Channel 25. Again, the 2 half-hour pilots, both shot here in New York with New York actors, a New York-based script, and so on. It's Maturity by Robin Rose Singer and Half-Life by Patty Carey. So if you're in the New York area, check out this unique project for the Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment, Greenlight Her. And guess what? Your vote may send a pilot into series land. And wouldn't that be nice? And I hope, by the way, that the mayor's office will bring back this Greenlight Her project this year. And one more thing. Whichever project is selected, we will invite that series creator to be on our program in a future edition. So stay tuned. We'll let you know how this thing works out. For more details, by the way, about this project, you can go to nyc.gov/Greenlight Her. It's nyc.gov/Greenlight Her. And that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Thanks again to our guest from Boston, Tracy Heather Strain, for being with us. Once again, the PBS American Masters season debut number 32 is Lorraine Hansberry, Sighted Eyes, Feeling Heart. And it premieres tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, over most PBS stations. That's Eastern and Pacific time. Coming up on our program Monday, we will be at our 1 hour than later normal time. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And joining us will be Robert Horowitz, the executive producer of the new CBS special, MVP, Most Valuable Performer. You're going to see top National Football League stars doing what you never thought they would do in competition. And he's the executive producer of that program. And then, from the new pop series, Let's Get Physical, with a lot of hijinks in your local gym, we'll have the co-creators and executive producers, Dan and Ben Newark. They're both joining us live, and we hope you will too. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And then we'll be back 1 week from today at our normal time, 3 Eastern and noon Pacific. And don't forget, the following week, we'll have our first 3-episode week of the year. That will be on January 29th. Special episode Wednesday, the final day of January, the 31st, and then February 2nd. And coming up on our first of those three episodes, we'll have the creator and executive producer of the brand new YouTube Red series, Step Up High Water, Holly Sorensen, and from Bartlett, co-star, creator and executive producer, Christy Mazzeo. It's all coming your way the week after next, three episodes that week, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up an episode you missed, we make it so easy for you. Just go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And so far, we have had over 8,000 replays, and we're not even two-thirds of the way through the month. We thank you all for that. Keep the replays coming. Share it with your friends. Spread that love. And don't forget, you can also check us out on podcast anytime through the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click it, and then you're in. Or go to podcast at the top of the iHeartRadio homepage screen, click that, then under categories, click entertainment, and you will find us as well. You can also check out our podcast version at iTunes.com and on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. We love hearing from you. What do you think about today's program? And where do you see TV going? I'd love to hear what you think about Lorraine Hansberry. Do you think that she would be terrific in terms of contributing to television? Love to hear what you thought about today's episode and your thoughts about TV overall. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. Also, it's how you get involved in our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show that you like and you think doesn't get enough attention? Well, we'll give it the attention, but you got to let us know, communicate, and if we do, you get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can also find me anytime on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. We always love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. Our production associate at Blog Talk is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager, and Jay Sonnenberg is executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free 30-day trial, free audiobook as well, go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Whatever you're up to this weekend, make it a great, safe, and warm one. We will be back on Monday. Remember, 1 hour later than normal, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Again, whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it a great and safe one. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.